Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
This week, we have a little bit of a different episode. We've been hanging out on Disney Plus for a bit, but we're going to talk movies, but a lot more recent than the Ewoks ones we were talking about last week.
Very recent,
and
yes.
And hopefully better.
Well, yeah, in most cases.
In most cases, yeah. We probably made it pretty clear we like movies at this point. Well, every year we watch the Oscars. We make guesses. We've had Oscar parties. Not this year.
No.
No. Or last year.
Well, I mean, I guess you could set one up on Zoom, but
Yeah. I'll just make food.
Yeah.
We'll watch, yeah. We make predictions, and we always watch the Best Picture nominees. We try and watch some of the other ones, too, but always the Best Picture nominees. It's called Hollywood's Biggest Night. It's finally right around the corner. They moved the dates this year.
It's very late this year,
yeah,
yes. Normally it's long over, but they had to change some things around and change the rules on what's eligible
exactly.
And all that sort of thing.
Oh, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So we finally finished watching all the Best Picture nominees as of, like, last night.
Well, when you say finally, we kind of binged them in less than a week since the last time we recorded.
Yes, we had watched zero of the Best Picture nominees last recording. We watched 3 yesterday. So that's what we're chatting about today. Kind of the Oscars, a little bit about like Disney at the Oscars, and then this year's Best Picture nominees. Before we get to any of that, though, Brandon, what kind of nerd thing are you into this week?
Well, I would say that watching 8 movies in less than a week in rapid succession is pretty nerdy.
It's true.
Staying up till 1 a.m. to finish last night.
Definitely did that last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty nerdy.
Yeah. We finished the last movie and you said, hey, do you want to record now? And I said, did you look at the clock? And you're like,
I'm too old for this.
Yes. What about you?
Well,
other than the movie,
the movies thing has been the big thing this week. Last week I talked about an Easter package that came for us and all like the treats in there, but I didn't mention one thing that I was really excited about, and that's because I was saving it to mention this week. Because do you know the Shakespeare Star Wars books?
Yes.
Yes. So I have the original. Well, of course you know. I have the ones from the original trilogy. And I really like them. But I got the one for The Force Awakens in that package, too. It is William Shakespeare's The Force Doth Awaken, Star Wars Part the 7th. It was in there. And I haven't started yet, but this week coming up here right away is Shakespeare's birthday.
Mm.
So I thought that would be a fun one to start for Shakespeare's birthday.
Nice. Well, you need to catch up on your reading.
I know. I'm so far behind. It's ridiculous.
You've only read like 10 books this year so far.
I haven't. Not counting work, I haven't read 10 books this year so far.
I roll my eyes, because you always read a lot, so.
So I'm excited for that. I figured that's my nerd thing. Ooh. Looking for. So even though I haven't started, I'm going to do that this week. So.
Cool.
Yeah. And what are you drinking?
Well, as we mentioned, we stayed up late last night finishing these movies.
Yep.
So I'm heartily enjoying my black coffee again this
again.
Morning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, ditto. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seems to be a habit we've formed recently. Recording in the mornings.
Yeah, just timing on when you can get things done. And
we're not sure if you can hear this, but our cat just jumped down and is now purring loudly into the mic again.
Yes, he's very happy.
So if you hear a purring.
He's our podcast buddy now,
yeah.
I guess. Okay.
Also, before we get to your Marvel reaction here, we have a new Apple Podcast review up that I haven't shared yet.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So this is from Sally Janed, which is fantastic. Hi, Sally. And the title is Good for a Podcast That's Not About True Crime. I do love true crime podcasts.
I am quite addicted to true crime. Maybe not podcasts so much, but watch Forensic Files on Netflix and Amazon and stuff. So
yeah.
Things like that, yeah. True crime's fun.
I like, my favorite true crime podcast is And That's Why We Drink, which is part true crime and part like supernatural stuff. So that's a fun one. Yeah. So she says, it's one of the few podcasts I listen to that doesn't involve people getting murdered. And I'm grateful for that. Keep up the good work. I love you both. We love you too, Sally.
Well, not yet anyway.
No.
Oh.
No. Well, I mean, we did talk about like people dying in the Halloween episode, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. I said a straight up murder some of the time, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're always in that gray area. Walking.
Well, there's going to be some murder on the show today.
It's true.
In these movies.
In the movies, not live
on
air.
No.
And before we get to any of that, 5th episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier came out. Only one episode left. Huh. Spoiler-free initial gut reaction. Brandon, what did you think?
It's going by too fast.
I know. Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, the episodes are nice and long.
Yep.
Which is nice.
Especially when you only have 6 of them.
And yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah. So of the 5 so far, does one stand out to you as being a favorite?
Oh, I don't know.
It's hard because they build on each other so well, right?
It's so intertwined.
Yeah. Maybe I'll make you pick a favorite when we do our recap episode.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll do. But all right. No, they're all quite different. They focus on something different. And this last one was quite political, I thought.
Yeah, it really was.
And I thought it was well done. So
yep, they did that really well, I think, anyway. So that, I agree. Awesome. I love this show. For me, WandaVision, you know, it's kind of natural to compare the two. WandaVision is still standing out, but I absolutely love this. Like, this is so much fun. I'm enjoying it. I didn't think I wasn't not going to enjoy it, but I like it even better than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah. No, it works.
Yeah. And that brings us to the news. Disney A News Update.
Well, there's only one real news item this week, and that's tickets went on sale.
Holy did they.
For Disneyland's reopening. Yep. Mm-hmm. They had a couple different release days, mm-hmm. basically, if you still had tickets from before times.
Before times.
You could buy them on, what was it, Monday, the 12th? It was the 12th. Was it Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah, the 12th.
Anyway, you could get on there and book your reservation
to
go along with those tickets, depending on the tier that you had, and people were having fun with that. It fun in quotes. Stress, I guess. I don't know.
Much stress
is, I mean, Disneyland's important to a lot of people.
Yep.
And it's been closed for a really long time.
Yep.
And then just on the 15th here, Thursday, they actually started selling new tickets. And boy, if you thought the reservations for the existing tickets was a crazy time. A friend of ours.
Yep. Who lives in California. Lives he's being in, all legal and everything.
Yeah, he lives in LA and he's like 45 minutes from Disneyland.
Yep. Jealous.
jumped on and right at 8 and was in the queue for 13 and a half hours.
Ooh.
And finally was able to book for mid-May. That was the first weekend Sunday that was available.
Right. They weren't just like first available day. They were going specifically for a weekend.
Yes. Like weekdays were not quite as booked up.
Right.
But I mean, like April 30th sold out really fast.
Right.
And
I saw a thing last night that said, you know, there's lots of demand and everything like that. But if you're looking further ahead, like into the summer, for example, there's a lot of openings still.
Yeah, so, like they opened up the calendar for a few months.
Yes,
I'm not exactly sure how long, but if you can plan ahead and are optimistic, it's good. But of course,
summer's a pretty safe bet.
You still need to be a California resident to actually book it,
yeah.
Even though they might open it up soon.
I would say most, yes. So the conjecture is, we were talking about this, and this is all rumor, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's rumor for a few different places. June 14th keeps getting floated around. So basically, we started talking about Disneyland opening in the red tier. Since then, they've moved into the orange. They're almost in the yellow.
Yeah, they're basically, like, they might be in the yellow now. I haven't looked
they're
in
so
the past
close.
24 hours. Like
within a couple weeks, they moved. They're saying, well, they... You know, the real they are saying that possibly by June 14th, they could look at lifting, if not all restrictions, like almost all restrictions.
Which is interesting. Avengers Campus is opening 10 days before that.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, I don't know.
June 4th, I don't think there's any tickets left for that.
I think the headline I saw was that 50% of adults in California are already at least one dose of vaccinations.
Right. Yeah.
So they're. They're getting there.
Yeah.
They'll have herd immunity and.
Yeah, I saw higher than that. I think I saw like 60-some%.
Yeah,
so
that was a few days ago. So
right,
and they're churning them out.
They're
there.
Doing that so well. So you know maybe if you can't get tickets yet if you don't live in California for the summer, but I'd maybe keep an eye on that because it's looking pretty optimistic. Mm-hmm. I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Well, unless you get your fake ID.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
McLovin, state of California.
Perfect. Oh, McLovin. He was in one of these movies.
He was, he yeah.
Was. Okay, speaking of these movies, let's get to the... Any other news, first of all?
No, I think that was...
That's the big one.
That's the big one. Universal opened.
Yep.
And I think we'll talk more about that next week.
Yeah, so. We're going to talk about a lot about park stuff next week. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. All right, speaking of, we've mentioned McLovin. Let's get to our main topic.
What's in the bag?
It's not a head, it's just content.
Oh.
Disney A grab bag.
Yeah, roll out the red carpet. It's time right. for the Oscars.
I know. Oh. It's finally.
Yeah. Finally.
Look, it's the top of the show. This usually happens in February, and now it's April.
Yeah, the Super Bowl and the Oscars typically happen around the same time.
Yep, like a week apart.
And those were the last big events before the entire world shut down last year. So.
It's true. We didn't have an Oscar party last year. I was in the middle of being... I was in the middle of doing a play mm-hmm. at the time.
Yeah.
A lot of people and seats and on stage. And it's crazy. Yeah, we were finally getting back to Oscar season. And we hadn't watched any of them in advance for the Best Picture nominees.
No, yeah. And yeah, it was, well, I mean, it's been a funny year. We haven't been able to go to the theaters. And
it's true.
And it was tough to even figure out what was going to be nominated or what could be nominated. And they changed the rules, like
yeah.
I said. And
yeah.
So.
Do you want to talk about how the rules changed here first before
sure.
we go into that? Just like off the top of your head, I know.
Basically, normally the Oscars are very picky about... It has to be a theatrical movie.
Yes.
So things like Netflix, when they produce a movie, will book a theater in LA and have it run for a week just to
right.
check off that box.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they obviously waived that because theaters weren't operating.
Yeah, maybe
in most,
smart.
most cases. So more things had availability, so we didn't have like a Best Picture nominee Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right. Yes. Fair. Oh God.
Because that was the joke for a while.
Funny joke. So before we get to this year's Best Picture nominees, I just thought it'd be kind of neat to go back and look at Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Walt Disney has the record. Sorry, for the most Academy Awards in history, and also the record for the most nominations for an individual as well as like a company.
Right.
So. Of course he does.
Yeah, because, I mean, producers get the award for
yep.
the film. When the film wins an award, the producer gets it, right? So
and he,
it makes sense.
Yep, and he was in so many different categories, mm-hmm. right? He received a total of 26 awards during his life. 4 of them were honorary, and then 22 were competitive, obviously. His first involvement was actually in the 5th Academy Awards. Doesn't that seem crazy? This year it's the 93rd.
Yeah, that is wild.
Crazy to think
about. And they were a much smaller deal back then.
Yes, it's true. Yes. And at that first, well, not the first Academy Awards, but his first Academy Awards, he received both a competitive and an honorary award. Yeah. So it was kind of neat. I went looking through a lot, like the awards he had won and was nominated for and everything like that. It was really interesting, the different categories. Most of them actually still exist today, but not all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. They've changed the categories over the years.
Of course. Like, they changed this year. They had
yes,
a different change.
Yeah, yeah, they had a change.
Sound.
Sound. There used to be 2 sound categories, and us laymen always got them confused. Sound people are like, well, these are completely different, but they just won Best Sound now, which is
yeah.
it's probably fine.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, they have one Best Visual Effects, and there's a whole lot of different
That's
things
true.
To go into that.
That's
so,
true.
Yeah. So, anyway... Speaking of the different categories, April 25th is our Oscars date this year. It's coming up. So next weekend we'll be watching. Yeah, we'll be watching and we will be making some predictions.
Yeah. We're going to fill out our form and predict everything, but we're going to talk about just the Best Picture
exactly.
category today.
Right. So a total of 10 are now allowed to be nominated. They changed that several years back. It used to be just 5.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 8 this year.
Yeah, they need to meet a certain threshold. They don't just say, these are the 10 we're going to nominate. They
right.
they send in votes for
yep.
the nominations, and the ones that hit the threshold get to be nominated.
Exactly.
Up to 10.
Right. So let's talk about the 8 that are nominated, kind of just what each one just very briefly is about. Maybe, I don't know, initial reaction, and then do you want to pick a favorite? Want to make a prediction?
What yeah, do you do? So I'm going to say if I had a vote, what I'd vote for, and what I think is going to win.
Those are two different things.
Two
for me.
Different things. Yeah. Oh yeah,
no, almost always. Actually,
there usually are.
Yeah, yeah, almost always. Politics and red tape and all that kind of fun stuff.
Oh yes,
yes. Okay, so this is just the order that was on the official Academy Awards site. So this isn't in any particular order. I think it might be alphabetical order, I guess. Okay, so starting with The Father. This is nominated for a few different things. Best Picture's nominated, where Anthony Hopkins is in it, for Best Actor as well.
Adapted Screenplay.
Production Design, lots of that. There's a nomination for Best Supporting Actress in this one. Basically, this one was a tough one to watch, actually.
I mean, I think that's going to be a recurring theme with...
That's true. None of these were, like, fun. There were a couple of them I, like, chuckled at, but they're hard.
Yeah, no, it's difficult subject matter, fairly depressing
yep.
all the way around.
Yeah.
Actually, Bill Maher did a monologue about the Oscars and just making fun of them for picking horribly depressing movies in a horribly depressing year.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they came out in 2020, so, you know.
So, yeah, no, like, there's no happy fun times to be had here.
No, be aware of that. So, The Father, we have Anthony Hopkins playing an aging man, and it's kind of like his relationship with his daughter. And I don't know how much to say about this.
Well, I mean, we're not going to spoil it, but he's old and he's losing his faculties, and you're kind of experiencing that from his perspective.
Okay, that's a good way to say it.
And it's a drama, but it almost felt like a horror movie to me because it
was so disconcerting.
It was very disconcerting, and you said it's nominated for production design, and I thought that was an incredible part of this movie.
I remember you saying that you thought the production design was almost like another character in it. Yes, it was very well done.
But yeah, very difficult movie to watch, especially if you've dealt with that in real life, as many people do. Yeah.
Particularly parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, but any kind of experience with that whatsoever, that, you know, heads up on that one. That is going to be, you know what, maybe we should do heads up on like all of these.
Yeah.
So we'll tell you what the heads up are for each one, the trigger warnings, I guess.
Yeah.
But yes, if you are dealing with or have dealt with aging anyone that you care about, but particularly a parent who is, like you said, losing their faculties.
Oof.
Yeah.
But anyway, I absolutely love this movie.
This was fantastic.
Loved it as a piece of art.
Yes.
Difficult to watch.
Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins did amazing.
My goodness.
And I think the poor guy's going to get robbed of an Oscar because of...
Who he's up against. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can say that. He's not on my list later. Who's he up against where the issue is?
Well, the issue. Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Black Panther.
Yeah.
Did a movie that's not nominated for Best Picture.
No, it's nominated in several other categories, though.
And he's nominated for Best Actor in that movie, and of course, he passed away.
And that
usually kind of bumps up your stock a little bit. And I know it's a really good role, and he does, like, an incredible job. So it's going to be well-deserved.
Yes. Yeah, so I know when that came out before he had passed away and everything like that, they said he was a shoo-in at the time for Best Actor. And then Anthony Hopkins came out with this one, and then they were like, oh. So really, the competition's between these two. But yes, Chad Boseman is going to win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's...
And apparently very well deserved. We just haven't seen that one yet.
No, because it wasn't on this list.
Exactly. So not to negate anything from his performance. I don't think it's a gimme.
We have a whole week to watch. We can watch
all the rest of them. Yeah, that's true. This might be Anthony... I mean, maybe not his defining role, but it is one of the best performances I've seen from him in a long time. And that's saying something because that dude can act.
Yeah.
Okay. So heading into Judas and the Black Messiah. Okay.
So here's the thing, maybe some background. The Oscars have taken heat over the past several years. There was a hashtag going around on social media, hashtag Oscars so white.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Maybe just because of the voter base, they don't understand or appreciate some other diverse perspectives.
Yes. Yep.
And I think they've done a bit better job.
Yep.
This year and last year.
Yeah, this year we're really seeing some headway with that.
Yeah, yeah. And this is right in line with that. It's very timely because it's dealing with racial tensions that are still very much at the forefront.
Particularly dealing with police.
Yes. So this is, again, a very difficult movie to watch.
And that's your warning on this one about the subject matter for this.
Racial tension with police and... It's focusing
and
on
violence.
the Black Panther Party.
Yes.
From the 60s and early 70s.
Yep.
And we get to see kind of the inner workings of that and how they're dealing with being downtrodden by the government and the establishment, and they're trying to make the world a better place for people that look like them.
Right. Yeah.
And it doesn't go so well.
No. Well, yeah. So what I found interesting about this is, I mean, like, we live in Canada, first of all, so our understanding, not that any of that doesn't exist here in Canada, but, like, the history of it is different.
It is different. Like, just the southern states' relationship with slavery and stuff like that, it wasn't quite like that in Canada.
No, slaves
existed and things like that, but
We're not perfect or anything like that, but so the history of that is always very different, but even knowing the history, and we're taught that in schools and everything, even though it's not Canadian history and stuff, but it really focuses on this era on, you know, Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King and things, and not, like, the aftermath. Like, what, there was this time period after they died, and this big question mark. Like, Black Panther Party still existed, for example, but we don't know a lot of details about that.
Mm-hmm.
So this was interesting.
Yeah.
It is not an easy watch.
No.
None of these are easy watches, but... Yes, it was very well done, I thought.
Oh, and the acting is quite incredible in this.
It's true. So, yeah,
it's true. An interesting story. And
upsetting.
Upsetting.
Very upsetting. And a little bit timely.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe give that one a watch, but watch with eyes open and a heads up on that one. Yeah. Leading into Mank. So this one's a bit different.
Yeah.
Whew.
I mean... So this one is a very inside school type of Hollywood loving itself type of movie. It's about the writer of Citizen Kane, which is often held up as the best movie ever made by critic type people.
Yeah. Movie people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the writing of that movie and,
yep.
and what went on. It's a little more lighthearted than most of these.
I think it is the most lighthearted one on here.
Which is saying something, because it's mostly about a guy drinking himself to death.
Literally. Yep.
So there's that. I think you need to have watched Citizen Kane to fully appreciate it. There's a lot of homages to that movie in it, and it's very meta that way. You hadn't seen Citizen Kane?
Yeah, I hadn't seen Citizen Kane. Of course, I knew about it, and I knew, you know, basic story and characters and all that other stuff. So it was fine. I still liked it, but afterwards I said, I wish I had watched Citizen Kane before watching this.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't know anything about almost any of these movies. I knew Anthony Hopkins was in The Father playing an older, aging man, like someone regression. And I knew a basic gist of Promising a Woman, but I didn't know anything about any details or anything, and I knew nothing about the rest of these. So had I known that, I probably would have watched Citizen Kane first.
Yeah, it would be a good idea.
Yeah.
And Gary Oldman is great.
Oh, is he ever.
Yeah.
I really liked this movie.
Yep.
Oh, it's also in black and white.
Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of, you know, the titles being done in, like, in script formatting and things like that.
The old CinemaScope style kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes. So.
Yeah, no, it's an homage to that golden age of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And it's nominated in several other categories as well. So that takes us to Minari. What did you think?
Well, when we booted it up, you said, is this a foreign film? And I was like, no, I don't think so.
Just because of the title.
Yeah, just because of the title. Minari is a Korean, like, it's the main ingredient, kimchi, generally.
Oh, okay, yes.
So it's not a foreign film. It's an American film.
Yes, it is.
But they speak Korean like 60% of the time or so. And that it was interesting.
I actually really liked that. Hey, guess what? That's also like American languages, right?
Yeah, and they're immigrants and they're trying to carve out their life in the States. And it's just a low-key family drama. Where you're just watching this family try and make their way in the world.
Yep. In the 80s. It takes place in the 80s. And they're trying to start a farm.
Which is a poor life choice.
I'm from a farming family. And the whole time I was like, what? No. Don't do this. Yeah. Nothing against farming. It was just like, maybe, I don't know, a little bit of background might be useful here.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, your dream is to work from sunup till sundown just to eke out I don't know.
Yeah. And yes, it goes about as well as you'd expect. But it's more about the family and identity and like holding on to elements of their culture, like the Korean culture that they brought in, while also like trying to fit into this. I think they're in Arkansas.
Yes, they moved to Arkansas.
Yeah.
Right out in the middle of nowhere.
Yep, literally that's part of the whole gist for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so if, again, not a super lighthearted one. Some fun moments.
Mm-hmm.
Not super lighthearted. It was interesting. This one also nominated for several different categories. We've got a Best Supporting Actress nominee in here. A lot of the set stuff. And yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
Yep.
Not my favorite, but
no.
It was good.
I'll say I didn't have a problem with any of these.
Right.
Right. So I definitely had some I liked better than others, but all of them, I'm not disappointed I watched any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, and that leads us to Nomadland.
Another uplifting
tale
of capitalism making everything okay. No.
No.
I was surprised. Part of this takes place in an Amazon warehouse.
Yep.
During the Christmas rush.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised they actually got the rights to use Amazon,
yeah.
But they kind of danced around it. They actually weren't negative about Amazon in any way, so that's probably how they...
Yeah, it was just that's where she's working for a while. Yeah.
So anyway, the premise of this movie is it's an older lady.
Yep.
She's a widow.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives in her van.
Yep.
By choice.
Yes, primarily. Like, after her husband dies, the town that they're in goes completely bankrupt.
Yeah, it's a gypsum mining company town.
Yes.
Out in the desert.
And the mine closes.
And the mine closes, because drywall isn't as popular, I guess, is the idea.
I guess so.
And so she decides to just hit the road and in this camper van,
yep,
and do odd jobs here and there. And it's based on true stories of,
yes,
people that do this all the time. And several of the characters in this movie are real people.
Yes, they actually went to some of these places and found.
Yeah, yeah. And had, like, it's not a documentary, but these are real people, like, just basically, mm-hmm, telling their life story.
It's kind of in the gray area, isn't,
yeah,
it, between documentary and... Yeah.
It is a little odd that way, because you have Frances McDormand acting her pants
who
off.
Who does an amazing job.
And then you have these amateur,
yeah,
people, and it's uneven,
yes,
for me. Like,
yeah,
you can tell that they're not actors.
So, nominated in a ton of different categories for this one. I think it has one of the most nominations out of all,
mm-hmm,
the Best Picture ones.
It does, yeah.
And it is a favorite in a lot of those categories.
It is.
But, yes, yeah, so, like you said, Frances McDormand. Well, she's great in everything, though.
Yeah,
like,
she's a great actress.
She's,
yeah,
a great actress, and she acts her pants off, mm-hmm, in this one.
Literally, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, so part of it is financially motivated to live out of her van, but
yeah,
this is actually her choice. Like, she could make it work other ways.
Well, she's given options throughout the movie,
yes,
to settle down, and it shows she's not comfortable
settling
down.
Even when she's like staying in a bedroom or anything like that, she can't sleep. She goes out and sleeps in her van instead. Yeah. So, and there's different things, like different community events and things like that for other nomads.
Yeah, they all gather once a year in the desert.
Yep.
And talk about, I don't know,
being a nomad.
What kind of poop bucket you're going to use,
yeah, exactly,
and stuff like that. I called it Sad Burning Man.
Yeah, Sad Burning Man.
Bunch of old people in the desert talking,
yes,
about living in their van down by the river.
And
I
was that,
like,
was the other thing, is most of it was focused on older people,
mm-hmm,
who were doing it. You did see some younger ones. She befriends a lot of people going through this movie, but most of it did focus on, you know, aging people.
Yeah, it was focused on the aging people, not your Instagram...
Exactly.
Van dwellers, mm-hmm, that do it for the likes.
Do it for the likes for a couple years and then go to,
yeah,
their condo in New York or whatever.
Yeah.
It's more, yeah, this is a nitty-gritty kind of look at this.
Mm-hmm. This is a slower movie.
It is.
There's some beautiful shots.
Oh, yes. If you're into cinematography,
yeah,
at all, I think this is a forerunner in that category.
Gorgeous. And, yeah,
yeah,
director is definitely,
yeah,
which is interesting because female director.
Was going to just bring that up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Female director, and they didn't have any female directors nominated last year, which was the big stink.
That was the big thing last year. Because
there was worthy ones they missed.
Absolute snubs last year. This year, I think they're like, let's not do that.
Yeah.
So we've got some great ones nominated here. And yes, we have a female director in this one, and kind of, if she doesn't win, she's going to be really high in the consideration.
Yeah.
Well, so it's going to be pretty fantastic.
But I think this was my least favorite of all of these.
That's fair. Of them, like, looking through them, I would agree. I didn't dislike it. Yeah, I didn't dislike it. It was a little slower for me.
Very,
and I think,
very slow burn.
Yes. I don't know if I was in the right mood to watch something that slow. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind watch. I actually wouldn't mind watching it again, but I'd have to be in the right mood. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It is. It's. I have to go into it thinking of it closer to documentary. It's probably tied for my least favorite.
Okay.
And I liked it still, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah.
I kind of like eh on it.
I'd be fine with it winning director because I think that was probably the best part. Agreed. Of it. I hope, like, it's up there for a front runner. Yep. For best picture, and I hope it doesn't win.
So best picture usually has a lock or between two. There are several that are being discussed right now. This is one of them. Yeah, so we'll see. Anyway, let's go to something. Oh, this one, your heads up on this one is consumerism and
yeah,
those kind of tough,
like,
things.
late capitalism.
Yep. Okay. Heading into Promising Young Woman. Now, this is one that I knew very little about going into, but it was more than I knew about most of them.
I knew nothing about any of these movies. Yeah. And I did that on purpose this year, mostly because it was by default.
Yeah, and so you just kept with that.
And then so I was just like, well, I'm just going to go into all of these blind. Cool. Because it's fun sometimes,
yeah,
to do that.
Totally. Well, I knew The Father was about an aging father, and Promising Young Woman is about a woman who is, you know, dealing with the after effects of a traumatic event. That's basically what I knew about it, like the one-line synopsis, right?
Yeah.
So this one, again, nominated in lots of different categories. This one is very different stylistically.
Very different.
Which, I love that, actually.
It almost struck me as like a Tarantino-style revenge film.
Yep. Which have been nominated before.
In the Me Too era.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
So
basically we have a young woman here. She's 30. She turns 30 during the movie. And we find that she has dropped out of med school.
Med school, yeah.
Living with her parents, working in a coffee shop. This is all like synopsis-y type stuff. But she is dealing with the after effects of or sexual assault that was performed to her best friend.
Mm-hmm. And also in med school.
Also in med
school. By all the other med school students.
Yes, exactly.
Basically.
Exactly. And, you know, it was at university. It was reported. All of those different things. Nothing was done. It was all, well, we can't wreck this guy's life. But the whole thing is her dealing with it.
Yeah. And, like, the friend's life was ruined and she ended up killing herself. And,
yeah.
And so the main character of this is, like, kind of dealing with that in her own
way. Yeah. But, like, best friend since they were, like, 4 years old,
yeah.
I think it is. And she is seeking some revenge on the world and on particular individuals. Specifically as well.
Yeah, like men, nice guys.
Yeah.
Who are nice.
Not nice. Yeah. That's part of her whole thing. She's like, it's always the nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They always say they're nice guys, but yeah, so if this was a tough one to watch. It had probably the most fun moments
in
it.
It's difficult to watch because of the subject matter.
Yeah.
It's shot in a fun, punchy kind of way.
Yeah.
And it's
was rather Tarantino-esque, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Less blood and gore, but still blood and yeah.
Yeah, but it's a very unexpected movie in a lot of ways, and I really, really, really liked it.
Yeah, I agree. This one I would have liked even if it wasn't an Oscar movie. Like if we had just gone to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna talk about this one later.
Yeah, I figured you might. This one might have your vote.
Yeah,
But yeah, just watch it. Like, we can't really talk too much about it without spoiling stuff. So
yeah.
Just watch it.
It had funny moments. It was overall very upsetting. And the sound of metal.
So, again, no idea about this movie.
Me neither.
And, wow. I
loved this movie.
It was very surprising to me. It's very small character study. Like, there's very few characters in it.
Yep.
And it's mostly focused on the guy, and it's basically this heavy metal drummer who wakes up one day and he can't hear anything.
Yeah, within the course of like a few hours, goes completely deaf almost.
Yeah, like what did they say, 20%
yeah.
maybe? Like he can hear very distinct high-pitched things or low-pitched things or whatever. But yeah, he loses his hearing, and like the first 10 minutes of the movie shows like how important sound is to him.
Right.
And then through the rest of the movie, sound is one of the main characters.
It really is. If this doesn't win in the sound category, it is the ultimate snub. Sound is a character in here because it flips back and forth between like being in his head where he literally can't hear things or things are muffled or it's high pitched squealing or whatever.
Yeah, they do a really good job of using that sound to show what he's going through in his head. And yeah, it's really cool.
This is one of the ones that I would... So, there's always the Best Picture nominees, and I'm not disappointed in any of these this year, but a lot of them I won't recommend to, say, like, random non-movie nerds,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
This is one I would.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't say, hey, you random person on the street, go watch Mank, because...
Exactly.
It wouldn't... Right. It's not for general audiences. You need to be kind of a film nerd to appreciate everything about it. This one, anybody could watch.
Yes.
Promising Young Woman, probably anybody could
watch. Anybody
could
watch that one as well. And I think the last one we're going to talk about, anyone could watch that as well. But yes, anyone should watch... Anyone should, can, and we recommend.
We would enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's... It's a simple story. Yep. And
there is, so this one, there is, the added complication to this is our protagonist here is a recovering addict.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He has been 4 years sober, and it's also dealing with, like, his relationship with...
very codependent relationship with his bandmate.
Yes. And it's the two of them, and they've been together also, 4 years.
Yeah.
So very codependent, so there's the dealing with that at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, good film.
Yeah, highly recommend. And then our last one to talk about is The Trial of the Chicago 7. This is another one that I think almost anyone could watch and enjoy.
It's shot in a similar...
I shouldn't say enjoy, but you know.
Yeah, similar kind of like funny historical look as you would get from, say, The Big Short.
Yes, that's right.
Kind of that way, but it's dealing with that period of civil unrest from the same as the Judas and Black Messiah, same time period. Actually, Fred Hampton is who is the Black Messiah
in the
in that movie is a character in this movie as well.
He is. Yeah, there's a definite overlap there.
Yeah, but yeah, it's that same time period, and basically the whole concept is it's the trial, resulting from the Chicago riots.
Yes.
And all the political games that went on with that and all that stuff. And it was interesting because I knew nothing about this.
I didn't know any of the details. I knew there were Chicago riots.
Yes.
You know, it was part of the 60s and things like that. I had no idea about any of this trial. I didn't know anything about any of the details. So, again, very interesting that way.
But, yeah, just all the race stuff going on.
Yes.
And
politics and
all the politics, and... like... It's the transition to Nixon's administration, and yeah, it's fascinating, and it's done in an entertaining way to learn history, and still very timely.
Yeah,
sadly.
Very timely. Uncomfortable for sure, but entertaining.
Yeah,
and everyone acts their pants off in this one again. It is there are a lot of nominees for this one.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And, yeah, like you said, it's very timely.
And this is the other front runner for Best Picture, so...
That's what I've heard, too.
I've got my fingers crossed that I can squeak it out against
Nomadland.
For
between the two, I hope this one as well.
Yeah,
that's probably a good segue into our picks.
Okay.
Okay, so let's start with if you were voting.
If I was voting, I would probably go and vote for Trial of the Chicago 7.
Oh, okay.
That is what kind of movies I like. I like a little bit of historical, but I like it to be done in an interesting way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was a great movie.
Best courtroom drama I've ever seen. I'll say that. Like, it's a courtroom film.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Yeah, no. That's what would get my vote, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to say what you think is going to win, or do you want me to do my vote first?
Well, what are you voting for?
I'm voting for Promising Young Woman.
That would probably be my second place vote.
Trial of the Chicago 7 would be my second place vote.
Hmm.
Promising Young Woman, it is... when we started watching it, there's some scenes, and you were like, you just flat out said, this is uncomfortable to watch. And I said, it's not even remotely surprising to me.
No, it's not surprising, but
to see it,
it makes you sick to your stomach.
Yeah, which is effective.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I wish I could say that makes me sick to my stomach, but, you know, every single woman I know has a story. I don't know. Well, when the Me Too movement was going on, I knew very few women who didn't post. Yeah. And that is saying something. And so this is very timely for that. It is, again, dealing with a really tough subject matter. It is done in an entertaining way. You have actresses in here who are generally comedic actresses doing these parts, and it's very well done. This one would get my vote. 100%.
No problem with that whatsoever. Yeah. Really, really good.
Yep.
Okay, what do you think is actually going to win now? Because it's not Promising Young
Woman. It's not Promising Young Woman. I have my fingers crossed for her for actress, though. I think it's between Nomadland and The Trial of Chicago 7. I'm really hoping it's The Trial of Chicago 7. I'm going to say currently, I don't know if that's what I'll put on my prediction come Sunday, but currently I'm saying I'm thinking Trial of Chicago 7 is going to win.
Okay, well, I think begrudgingly, Nomadland is going to win.
Yeah.
I don't want it to. And I might not put it on my sheet.
Yeah.
Just as a...
Whereas I might put Nomadland on my sheet.
A protest.
We've done that before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to ruin director.
I do think it's going to ruin director.
But I think it might split.
Mm-hmm.
Because interestingly, Trial of Chicago 7 is not nominated for director.
Mm-hmm.
Which I agree with because it's...
It's not a directorial.
It's simple to shoot a courtroom drama.
Yes.
It's not a directorial tour de force, as you would say.
It is nominated for editing, and I think it did some great editing. Yeah. Especially, it has actual historical footage in there.
Yeah, it splices in your stock footage of the riots and things like that. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I might do the opposite on my on my sheet and put, because, I don't know, I'm hoping it's...
Well, this one's recorded, so...
Yeah, that's true. I'm hoping... Trial of Chicago 7 wins. I do think Nomadland's going to win director. I have zero problem with that. They used to just, it always used to be the same. I'm hoping, as they have in recent years, have different.
Yeah, they've been splitting it more and more.
So I'm wondering if it splits it. Yeah, that's kind of why I'm saying Trial of Chicago 7. And I would be very happy if that won.
Okay, well, so we've talked about the best pictures. That's the big category of the day. But we're also a Disney podcast. So
yes,
maybe
we are.
Let's talk about Disney's links to all this stuff here.
Okay. So Walt Disney Company, the whole company, including both Disney and Hulu and everything.
Buena Vista Productions is actually the...
Oh, thank you. Yes. Yeah. They've received a total of 15 nominations this year.
Pretty good.
What's kind of cool is first time Disney Plus originals are in this. Because, of course, it's only a year and some old. So the big one is Nomadland.
Yes, which is available on Disney Plus.
Check out Disney Plus; it's right there. So that is nominated for Best Picture, as we've talked about, Actress in a Leading Role, Directing, which we've talked about, Adapted Screenplay, Editing, and Cinematography. It is going to win several of those. I think
more than likely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it. I'm thinking.
I'd be shocked if it.
Yeah, Adapted Screenplay and Cinematography. I'm thinking it's going to win.
I would say. I think it's going to win
directing.
Actress, directing, and cinematography.
Oh, you don't think it's going to win adapted screenplay?
No, I don't think so.
I have to look at what else is up against for adapted screenplay.
No, I don't think it'll win adapted screenplay, and it shouldn't.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. All right. Okay, and big one, Soul.
Yeah.
Best animated feature, original score, sound. I think it's going to win best animated feature for sure.
That's... pretty as close to a lock as you get at
yeah,
the Oscars.
I think this is the biggest one.
It's been winning all the awards along the way,
and I think it's
deservedly so.
Definitely. Yeah. I also think it should win original score.
I think so.
Yeah. I haven't listened to all the scores, but I mean, the score is a character in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's fantastic. So that's kind of my hopes for that one. I don't think it'll win sound. Cool to be nominated there. I think Sound of Metal should win sound.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe it won't, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
We've also got Mulan for costume design and visual effects. It had great visual effects in there.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. Cool costumes as well. Yeah.
Onward is also nominated for animated feature. Any other year, this probably would have won, but,
I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
That's an honor to be nominated type of situation.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I loved Onward.
Yeah, I liked Onward as well, but I don't know.
Soul is going to win that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The one and only Ivan is nominated for visual effects. Burrow is nominated for animated short film. The United States versus Billie Holiday is nominated for best actress for Andre Day. Yeah, I wanted to see that too. I'm still watching.
Well, it's on to the Disney Plus, so there you go. Yeah.
So if you want to watch some of the nominees, jump on Disney Plus. Do you know we still haven't seen Burrow?
No, I know.
Let's watch Burrow today.
Should probably watch Burrow. It's a short film.
Yeah. We love short films.
I wish they'd just like let you watch all the short films.
Agreed.
Just post it on the Oscar.
Another one is on Netflix, I know. It's a Netflix short film. Yeah. And I think I just looked at what the subject matter was for each of them. I haven't watched it, but the Netflix one is, yeah. If it lives up to its one-line synopsis.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, though, but I don't know. Disney company always does really well with the shorts. Disney Pixar.
Yeah, I don't think they win very often, though.
They have won before, but it's not like a lock. Like, it used to be if Pixar made an animated feature, Pixar won. Right? It's not like that with animated shorts.
No.
The biggest snub in animated shorts, though, did come from Disney. Remember that Out? That one is considered a huge snub.
Oh, wasn't nominated. Yeah.
Because it wasn't nominated.
Yeah.
Which, it's that one bad. Is fantastic.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. Alrighty, so any final thoughts here on any of the Oscars? Okay, so that brings us to trivia. You asked me some trivia last time.
Yeah, well, we watched the Ewoks.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked you some Ewok-y type questions.
Yup-num.
So I wanted to know what Earth animals, not llamas, are Ewoks inspired by?
Right.
And you said...
See, to me, they're like half raccoon, not even half, but like part raccoon, part fox. I think I get serious red panda vibes from them, honestly. Shockingly, I was torn on my answer.
Oh, yeah, well...
I was wrong.
Definitely. Actually, they're based on a dog breed called Griffon Bruxellois. I don't know, some kind of French word there. But it's this type of dog that George Lucas actually owned. And I have some pictures here,
which you definitely can't see on the podcast.
To show you, do they not?
Oh no, they look literally just like.
It's kind of
Ewoks.
Like a cross between a pug and a cocker spaniel, with a beard,
maybe with a little bit of Shih Tzu in there.
Shih Tzu, yeah. Anyway, they look like little
they
Ewok
look like
dogs.
Ewoks. They're Ewok dogs now.
Yeah,
it's actually their new name.
So that's kind of cool.
Okay, so one wrong, fair.
And then I wanted to know which Star Wars species was originally supposed to fill the role that Ewoks had in Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And you said...
The Wookiees.
And this is where if I could do my Chewbacca roar, I would do it. But I can't. Yes, that's absolutely right. Wookiees would have made a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
Because they're big and could probably tear stormtroopers in half.
Yep.
But I don't know. I guess, like I said, they wanted to sell some merch of these cute little teddy bear
dudes. Well, not only that, but they're supposed to look... You're supposed to underestimate them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like a whole thing.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I also want a stuffed Ewok.
I mean, Wicket is very cute.
So cute. Not as bad as I want a stuffed Blurg.
Speaking of Wicket.
Yes.
The actor who portrays Wicket in all his appearances, Warwick Davis, he's a Star Wars mainstay,
mm-hmm.
has appeared in all the films,
mm-hmm.
And he was a murderous leprechaun.
Yes.
In the leprechaun movies.
Yep. Okay. We did look it up. He was 14 when he made the first
Ewok
movie.
Yeah, he was just a young guy, because he's only 56 now or something
that's
like that.
Crazy.
Yeah, just crazy. Absolutely crazy. But what genre film series does he also appear several times in?
I cannot even fathom a guess. I was not thinking as recent as this.
No, it's very recent. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's a big series, so it happened over a long period of time.
Yeah.
But
I'm shaking my head at myself.
Yeah, he's in Harry Potter. Right. Several characters. He plays a goblin at Gringotts Bank. He
leans over the counter, I remember.
And he's Professor Flitwick.
Yep.
And he comes back in The Deathly Hallows as another goblin-type bad guy. Interestingly, a bunch of his family members also play goblins at Gringotts.
Really?
Yeah, they had a little family cameo as well.
Oh. Shout out to Lindsay, by the way, who messaged in. She does really well with our trivia when she messages in. But she messaged that, and I was like, yes, as soon as, well, you told me when we were done recording, and I was just so mad at myself. Of course he is. I can literally picture him doing it.
No.
I just was not thinking recently enough, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's really cool that he had family members involved as well.
Yeah.
That's neat. Yeah. Talented fella.
Mm-hmm.
Very. I mean, Murderous Leprechaun makes me it's a little different, but...
those movies are cheesy fun and...
Yeah, they were. And not child-friendly.
No.
So that's my turn.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm asking, shockingly, questions about the Oscars.
Yeah.
And Disney.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I've got three here for you.
Okay.
So other than animated feature and animated short, what is any one other category in which Walt Disney himself was nominated for an Academy Award? It can be nominated. It doesn't have to be won.
Adapted screenplay?
Okay.
He must have gotten a writing credit on something.
Okay.
Maybe director. I don't know.
Number two. What was Walt Disney's only nomination for Best Picture Academy Award while he was alive? And I'll give you a hint on this. We've talked about this on the...
Yeah. Well, it wasn't anything animated, because there's only one animated film that's been nominated for Best Picture. Mary Poppins.
Okay. Final answer?
Yeah.
All right.
I guess. I don't know.
Walt Disney won 4 honorary Oscars, I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to name what the Oscars themselves were, but can you name what 3 of the films or like what the ideas were behind them? Like, why did he get 3 of the 4? You can name the movies they were for.
I don't understand the question.
Okay, so just name the movies that... they were all tied to movies.
Oh.
The honorary
interesting.
Ones. Or characters, or something.
Because usually an honorary Oscar is like a Lifetime Achievement mm-hmm. Award. I would assume that's the 4th one.
Okay, so what were 3 of the things he got honorary Oscars for?
I don't know, like, would be some sort of technical achievement with Mary Poppins being animated and live action and stuff like that. I don't know. It's a weird question.
Okay, I'll ask you my bonus instead then.
Okay. I'm interested to hear what you have.
I will just tell you the answer then and I'll ask you my bonus. So, in 1932, he won for The Creation of Mickey Mouse.
Mm.
In 1939, he won for Snow White, which we've talked about. Because it was the first animated feature. So he won an honorary for that. In 1942, he won... It was actually outstanding contribution to the advancement of the use of sound in motion pictures, but it was for Fantasia.
Ah.
Yes. And then he also won in 42 the Irving G. Thalberg Memorial Award, which was, for high level of production.
Yeah.
It's essentially a lifetime achievement.
Achievement Award, and they do that pretty frequently.
Yeah. So basically, I was looking for Mickey Mouse, Snow White, and Fantasia. So I was actually only going to get you to ask me one, but we've talked about Mickey Mouse and Snow White on this before, so I was like, I'll make you do 3. And so the bonus, since this is my backup, who famously presented Walt's 1939 honorary Oscar for Snow White? Someone rather famous presented it to him.
In 1939? Oh, mm-hmm. I don't know. That was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. It was before my time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, my trivia... for Disney at the Oscars is which animated feature film has been nominated for Best Picture?
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Best one.
And this was back when they only nominated 5.
So it was a real thing for it to be nominated. Like, that was an achievement.
Yeah, it was. And well deserved. I mean, that was the golden age of
mm-hmm. Renaissance.
Films, the big renaissance. But that was the only one that got a Best Picture.
Yep.
Lion King probably should have as well.
Yeah. Probably should have, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think the 3 high standards for that are Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, and Aladdin. I don't necessarily think... I loved Aladdin. I don't think it should have been nominated. Mm. I do think probably Lion King should have been. But Beauty and the Beast, well-deserved. Very happy with that one.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I know I'm right for that.
No, I know. It wasn't actually real trivia. I was just... It's cool. Yeah. It's cool trivia that...
Yes. Yay.
Disney-related Oscars.
Yay, Disney. Yeah. Absolutely. That was a good one. I wasn't going to ask that. I knew you knew it.
Yeah.
Figured it would come up, too.
Anyway, that's our show for today. Thanks to El Mule, who is responsible for the awesome custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. You can also find us on social media, Instagram at DisneyA Podcast, Facebook at DisneyA, and Twitter at DisneyA Podcast.
Maybe on Instagram I'll post something about like getting people to make their guesses for Best Picture as well.
Yeah, we can put the template on there
and
check off
and on
your
our
boxes.
Facebook and absolutely. We'll link you there on our Facebook.
Play along and beat Krista.
You know what? I've beaten you not last year. Last year I did the worst I've done in years, but I typically have been beating you for the last few years.
Yeah, but if we added up all the points from the past 5 years, I would be well ahead still.
Yes, when I beat you, it's like by 2, by 1. You beat me by 8 last year.
Yeah, last year was bad.
Last year was bad.
Anyway, you can find Disney A episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many more. Please review our podcast and subscribe.
Then we read it on the recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you know someone who might like listening to us, just go ahead and recommend that they do.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, we like people listening to us.
Yes, we do.
Otherwise, it's kind of silly and we're just talking in our basement into a microphone.
To our cat.
Oh. Yeah, he's our number one fan. You can listen to Disney A episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio, Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern, with replays on Wednesday and Friday, also at 4. You can listen to Magic of the Mouse Radio on Live 365, MyTuner Radio, Radio Garden, and other radio station apps. Also, starting this past week,
yes,
we began hosting the Disneyland Magic of the Mouse Radio Hour, I think is basically what it's
called.
Right,
it's basically like music. He's doing different music
sounds
from the
music
parks. Yes.
From the park. Yeah, yes. Very exciting, especially with Disneyland opening back
super
up again.
Exciting.
Get you in the mood.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. That could have been our nerd thing as well.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, tune into Magic of the Mouse Radio and listen to our show and the sounds of Disneyland.
And there are some other really great shows on there. Like, I don't know if I can... I always highly recommend listening to these shows. It's so much fun. If you are at all into Disney, and if you're not, you probably are listening to the wrong show, frankly. But listen to them, like you said, especially with Disneyland opening. It's just so cool. I will turn it on when I get some time at work, and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm listening to, like, the Fantasyland Suite or whatever.
Yeah, that's cool. You can have it on in the background, and then a podcast will come on, and you're like, oh, hey, I like this podcast,
exactly.
And I'm going to listen to it going forward.
Exactly.
That sort of thing. So join us next week when we're going to be talking about the reopening of Disneyland.
Yay! This is me clapping.
Universal, which just opened as well, and maybe some of the other Southern California theme parks.
Yes, so. I think we should mention the other ones, but since Universal just opened and Disneyland will be days away from it opening, I think that'll probably be our big focus ones.
Well, yeah, join us then.
Yes, and until that next adventure, I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
And TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
He's our number one fan.